The views expressed on the Big Shiny Podcast are explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, this is the Noob from Battlefield Friends, and you're listening to the Big Shiny Podcast!
Welcome to the latest edition of the Big Shiny Podcast. Joining us this week, as always, running the show, Tom, also known as Zombietron.
What up?
Sitting to my right, Kylie, also known as Vagitron.
I'm still awake.
Sitting across from me, kitty corner-ish, whatever, Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
Still kitties.
That's right. And I am R-Spot, also known as Tyson. And joining us again is Big Ben.
I love it. One whole month.
Jagatron, back in it, bitches.
And this week, we're going to be talking about video games. And to lead it off is some kind of like major news about Marvel vs. Capcom. Apparently, Capcom lost the rights or the licensing to Marvel. So that means that they have yanked. You can no longer download any of the Marvel vs. Capcom games on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, right, or on your PC or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They are not making copies of the game new anymore, so don't be expecting to see any new copies of these games on the shelves. Best chance is you might be able to find a used copy, like at your local gaming store. But even if you find that, if you take it home and plug it in, the downloadable content has all been yanked as well, so you'll be missing out on two additional characters, a bunch of additional costumes for the characters on the game, and as Jimmy brought up earlier this evening when we were playing, a bunch of patches that they did to the game that balanced the game out. So,
or tried to.
Yeah, goodbye, Marvel versus Capcom. Like,
well,
that's
to say this isn't exclusive to Marvel. I mean, or Capcom. Like, Disney's pulling the license from fucking everything.
Yes.
You know, with canning Star Wars 1313 officially and all that other stuff, but...
I was going to ask you then, what does this mean for the future of Marvel vs. Capcom in tournaments? I mean, we've seen it last few tournaments.
Well, I mean, that was a big concern with all the fighting game groups. It was like, well, are we still going to be able to stream it? Will we get the rights to stream it? But, yeah. I mean, they were streaming it at Apex 2014.
NEC had it.
NEC had it. Capcom Cup did acquire the rights to do it in December before the licensing was pulled. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see Disney do anything.
Do you think it'll make it through, though? Do you think it'll go that
way? Oh, yeah. I think it'll still go. I mean, like, look at it this way. You know, Nintendo's lawyers popped off about Smash Brothers at EVO last year, right? Sent out the letters, hey, you can't stream this. And within 36 hours, they had recanted and said, no, you're fine. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, the game's still not being manufactured. And I guess the streaming is violating copyright in a way, but... What's the harm in streaming a game that nobody can buy anyway at this point, right?
Yeah. That's getting into a lot of weird areas.
Yeah.
With that.
It's a bummer because, you know, Capcom never, like, a lot of people in the community have called for another patch on the game to try to balance it more. Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone wanted. Like, one final, like, okay, let's just fix little tiny.
Yeah, well, just things. And I don't think Capcom ever planned to. You know, they're putting all the efforts into Street Fighter where they control all the licensing and. So it never really got all of that. So.
However, to keep things moving on that, Capcom did say that they want to do, they said that they wanted to be more of a leader in like the fighting game world. So they're working on something, and that something isn't Ultra Street Fighter 4. It's supposed to be a bigger release. So some people are speculating to think it's like a Capcom All-Star game where it's just like a bunch of different titles. But then they would still run into the same thing that they ran in with Marvel as far as like licensing for different.
But at the same time, if they used all the Capcom content, I mean, do like a Capcom All-Stars, I'm sure they could license a lot of the stuff.
Oh, sure,
I mean,
yeah, with their own group.
Yeah, well, and even as an example, they released a game last year, which was not the worst purchase I've ever made, but Project X Zone. Mm-hmm. And it was this 3DS game that was a blend of, like, I swear to God, they had licensing from every Japanese gaming company on the planet. They had characters from Tekken, they had characters from... Capcom, everything.
Was Killer Instinct involved?
No, because they're not a Japanese game. I guess.
How about Primal Rage? I love them.
There was no Primal Rage. There was no Shaq Fu.
I will fucking drop a quarter in that machine.
But I mean, there was stuff from Tekken all the way to like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Mega Man. It was fucking crazy, and it was the worst writing ever. But anyway. So they could definitely work something like that out where maybe it's not Marvel versus Capcom, but they could do, you know, Capcom and Friends or Capcom versus SNK or
somebody that we would miss from Marvel.
And if they made like an incredible a new Capcom versus SNK, I bet that would do really, really, really well.
Absolutely.
Because I mean CVS2 was a big deal. So they have a lot of options, but that's kind of the rundown on that. And it's been, by the time you listen to this podcast, it's been 2 months since you can get a hold of it. And the cool thing is that they put it on, like, mega clearance on Xbox Live. So I think between you and me, I spent, what, $9?
Yeah.
I spent, $9.
Marvel's Capcom 2 for, was it, $3 or $4? And then the $5 or $6.
So what
DLC was $2.
See, and I already own two.
So fuck off.
Yeah, so I got...
I spent that much to get costumes.
Yeah, Ultimate. I think with Jill and Shuma, I spent $9. Yeah,
so should we... So if you're listening to this, is it wise for you to go out to your local gaming store and buy the used or new copy if you can find them
off
the shelf and then flip them over and sell them on eBay?
I don't think they're worth anything yet.
But, however, there was a time on PlayStation 2 where Marvel vs. Capcom 2 used was about $65 to $70.
Easy. Yeah.
And at one point during my video games retail career, it was $100. Mm-hmm. So if you want to play the game... and you didn't buy it digitally, you should probably go drop the $30 on whatever last new copy you can find somewhere, because you know,
keep that shit sealed.
Give it 2 to 3 years.
They're not too bad on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because right now manufacturing just stopped. So if you go out and buy it now, you give
that's
it 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. Like you're not gonna be able to my hard copy right now. I'm not gonna be able to flip that right now because there's not a shortage yet.
Right.
So buy them up.
2011, is that right?
Sounds about right. 2010, late 2010.
It's still 2011. Like the I would argue like the second most popular fighting game.
And I would say that depends. And that depends on the tournament you're watching, because there's tournaments where Marvel's number one.
Sure.
You know, I feel like watching.
Smash Brothers, three of those fucking games.
Yeah, I mean, Apex, for example, was a total Smash Brothers tournament. I'm watching CEO last year. I felt there was more excitement and energy around Marvel than there was Street Fighter.
Right.
But then at Evo, I felt like it just kept escalating and Street Fighter was kind of the cap. So I think it depends on which tournament you're looking at. But I would definitely say it's the number two, at times the number one fighting game in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. Which, I mean, for me, it bummed me out because I was really hoping for like a Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
I know.
You know, bigger rosters, different characters and stuff, but that's just not going to happen anymore. So.
If it has Sentinel and Jimmy can play it, I don't want that fucking game to ever come out again.
What is Marvel vs. Capcom Fate of Two Worlds?
That's the first one.
That's the first version.
Fate of Two Worlds,
And then 6 months later, Ultimate.
Ultimate Marvel's.
That's right.
I'm like, okay. MVC 3.
So then that version is called the Vanilla version. So some people will refer to that game as Marvel Vanilla or
Vanilla Marvel. Capcom, yeah.
Okay. Marvel versus Capcom 2 is going for $234.
Exactly. You could buy MVC 2. I got it. I got it for my PS3 for $15 5-6 years ago. They re-released it. Now if you need an actual copy, you're a couple $100, and that's, I think, Ultimate Marvel 3 will probably go that route.
And the roster on that's fucking awesome. That's maybe like my only problem with 3 is, like, with 3 I got about 8 guys that I may switch up, and with that game there's like at least like 15 that I like, and there's still like there's like 30 or 40 fucking guys you can choose from.
Well, I always wish that Marvel vs. Capcom 3 had a bigger roster, because Marvel vs. Capcom 2 had such a huge expansive roster
to choose from. It takes a fucking minute just to get through them all. So.
But moving on.
Yeah.
We finally got a look at what some companies are creating for their Steam machines. Tom, if you want to talk about those.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of them. Everything from, iBuyPower had a $500 model, which was running a single core 4 gigahertz processor with 8 gigs of RAM. It's interesting to see kind of the expanse on, starting at that $500 model was kind of the cheapest model we saw at CES, going all the way up to like a $2,800 model.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking...
No one's going to pay it.
No, well, somebody will, but nope, not
you don't make it, somebody won't buy it.
Yeah, and the thing that's blowing my mind is they also just announced recently that the Alienware Steam machines will not be upgradable, and they will do.
Isn't that the whole point of these fucking Steam machines?
That was a big purpose, and but Alienware will be refreshing them yearly.
Okay, so you have to go out and buy a whole new fucking unit every year.
Whatever. So it sounds like it is a money pit. And that's what's hurting me. Like, it's, you know, the whole point of PC gaming is that you go out and build it yourself and then you kick ass, right? That's what the PC gaming community to me has come about, you know. That's what makes me so excited about it is new game comes out, my system can't handle it, I buy a $200 video card, you know, or $500 video card, whatever I need to do, I flip it and I feel cool because I built something awesome and I'm playing this killer game and it looks better than anything else. So my hope with Steam Machines was that they were going to take that to a console type of idea and give people the amazing access to Steam that we need. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like I was saying on the earlier episode, I have, you know, 110 games on Steam. A lot of them launched at $40, $50, $60. I paid $3 for some of them because Steam does these incredible sales. These are games I'm going to play. You know, and developers use that as a tool to get their product out, to get their content out. Steam Greenlight has been a huge deal for indie developers. There's so much that Steam has done for the community.
Especially as of late, with all their sales and everything.
I want the Steam boxes to grow, and it kind of bums me out a little bit that some of the companies aren't catching on to the ideal.
I was going
to
say, it seems like they're missing the mark.
Yeah,
they didn't understand.
Like, yeah, well, and they, you know, they're a high-end PC company, so they're building stuff like a high-end PC company. You know, Valve's not releasing anything on their own, but we still haven't seen a ton of pricing. Listen, we've seen about, I think, like 15 units total they've shown, and only about 7 of them had pricing. So there's still time, but the cool thing about it is you can still go out and build your own PC. You can buy the controller from Valve. I think the controller they're saying is going to be like $50 to $100. And instead of buying an operating system for your computer for, you know, $150 for Windows 8 or $300, whatever they're charging for that, you just get online and download SteamOS, stick in the disk and install it, and your system has a full functioning OS, which is pretty impressive. So there's still a lot of good to be had for it, but I'm really worried that they're going to try to go head-to-head with these consoles that, as of, you know, listening to this, they've sold about 8 million units worldwide between the Xbox One and the PS4. And, yeah, they're going to draw blanks. And that's what scares me, especially with how heavily, well, they say heavily, but, you know, I mean, every gaming company is really focusing on indie development, or says they are. All of the major consoles are, you know. And, I mean, the latest game to launch on the PS4 was Don't Starve Console Edition. So to give you an idea of kind of how that focus is going. So that's my concern. I want Steam Machines to be successful. I want more friends to play with on PC. I'm not 100% sure that this first generation of Steam Machines are going to do it for us, but I really hope so.
And then it calls into question, will there even be a second generation?
Right, exactly, because if they don't sell, then what's the point, you know? Yeah. I mean,
everyone's going to abandon it real quick, and then it'll be revisited again a decade later.
But I think the thing that Valve is in a great position to do is SteamOS, I think, will be successful regardless. Because the day that launches, you can bet your ass that a shit ton of people are going to dual boot SteamOS. Well, in SteamOS, I mean, you can install the beta right now. You can install it from a thumb drive.
Oh, wow.
It's, you know, which is really nice. They've got it all set up to boot from a thumb drive. I think we'll see a lot of really cool stuff happening with SteamOS. It's definitely not going to go away. But as of right now, looking at the price listing and the hardware for price, I mean, if you compare the specs of an Xbox One to the iBuyPower box, it's not an impressive difference. I mean, everything is the same until you get to that processor, which, you know, the processor's not as big of a deal for gaming, but it doesn't hurt. So
I was also going to ask, how are they like marketing, or how is the marketing? I mean, are they getting their name out there?
Yeah, I mean, Valve broke records over December. They had over 70 million active users simultaneously. So, I mean, the marketing's there. I think, you know, the awareness is there. But, I mean, the marketing is another problem, right? Like, I feel like it's the problem that Android has versus Apple right now is fragmentation. And it's going to be a very similar issue is Steam Machine is just going to be a word. But, you know, you're not buying a Valve Steam Machine like you're buying a Microsoft Xbox or a Sony PlayStation 4. You're buying an iBuyPower Steam Machine, or you're buying Alienware, or you're buying, I can't remember the one that was $2,800 that made me pee.
Jesus.
It was a $2,800 PC, and I looked at it and went, I could build it for $12. But, I mean, some of them look really, really cool. The iBuyPower one, you know, had a really crisp, sleek body. But so you get to the point of Steam Machines are just a thing. I mean, theoretically, if you and I wanted to, we could jump on Newegg, order a shit ton of PC parts, and start selling Jimmy and Tom dick fuck Steam machines. And
I would exactly like one. Can it block out porno bugs? Because I'm in.
But we could do that, and we would be manufacturing Steam machines, and we'd have a company making those. But then you start seeing that different fragmentation. You start worrying about, you know, quality control and brand recognition and all that other stuff. Because
in our name, that's going
to
be.
Oh yeah, I mean, Val. Yeah, but think about it. I mean, somebody who doesn't know a lot about consoles goes shopping, buys like a $350
Jimmy and Tom dick fuck machine.
Yeah, and they buy a Jimmy Tom dick fuck machine, and we decided that we're not going to put very much hardware in there. They give give it to Johnny No Dick the kid to play games on.
Jesus, dude, so what do you got going on? It's almost midnight, dude. Dick fuck dicks.
So they give it to their kid, and their kid's like, "Dude, I want to play Titanfall." And suddenly, well, Titan
have a dick.
Yeah.
He's Johnny No Dick.
As the name implies.
No, but so the kid, but the kid boots up Titanfall, and it's running at 28 frames or 25 frames a second, and it looks like shit because mom and dad or grandma or whoever bought this crappy. I mean, we the same thing has happened with Android phones.
Oh, plus.
God. So I think
dick money.
I think as big of a fan as I am of Valve, and as much as I want Steam Machines to succeed, you can go back and listen to previous episodes of me like fighting valiantly the cause of Steam Machines. Watching the way that everything was presented at CES made me a little nervous. I'm not saying
I was laughing. I was laughing.
But I also think that this is a chance that, you know, you could see some other companies come out and lead the charge and really destroy companies like iBuyPower and other things that have made a name for themselves building PCs. You could see somebody come out of left field, you know, and completely blow it away, which would be amazing. So that's what I'm hoping for.
All right. So a game you want to talk about. Tell me about the Bravely Default.
Yeah, so Bravely Default.
I'm hearing a lot about it.
Yeah, well, you have a 3DS, so you should be looking at it. Kind of.
Tyson, better be looking at it, Dick.
Better be looking at it.
Johnny No Dick.
Johnny No Dick. My opinions of Johnny No Dick are loosely based on Tyson.
Johnny No Dick are loosely based.
So, Bravely Default comes out, I believe February 4th off the top of my head. I could be off by a few days. So they released the demo, and they did kind of a cool thing with the demo. Frowny face. So instead of releasing it, the demo where you just play a certain portion of the game.
You gotta feel it to believe it.
So it's, God damn it, you guys. It is, you're actually playing a side story that just kind of gives you an idea of how. Is that Brazzers logo?
That's the picture I've been seeing on Facebook.
So it's you go in, you play the game, and you actually run through missions. You do missions to help the townspeople. And by doing that, they introduce you into the combat system. They show you kind of how the Brave system and the Default system work, which is actually really cool. So the Brave system, you get to spend battle points, and the battle points let you take an extra turn. But by taking an extra turn, then you're skipping a turn to make up that battle point. So, for example, you get to the, you. Yeah, I realize this is riveting stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's midnight. I know.
I've actually been looking forward to hearing about this game.
So for example, you get to the end of a really hard battle. One of them's like a Minotaur who hits like a fucking tank, and you're trying to kill him.
Like a fucking Minotaur.
There you go.
A dick.
Like, Johnny No Dick is crying.
No chance.
And you know that he only has X amount of hit points left. And you've got battle points to spend, so you could actually have every member of your team take four turns each and just rally him to win.
That's what we did at my bachelor party.
Oh, man, that bachelor party. Four turns each, and we rallied, and then I was banned from the Marriott for life. So it was really cool. The other thing that they integrated into it that I really kind of enjoyed was the freemium idea. So you have a town that you're rebuilding. And you actually go into the town and give.
I'm sorry, I'm already playing The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. But you go in and you assign a job. Gotta check your Simpsons, Kylie.
I do.
Goddamn. So one of the parts is you fight the Minotaur. Oh man! So there's a part in a forest.
Are we playing Clash of Clans? I'm in.
Oh, that game's fun. So you go into the forest, and there's this big rock monster that has way too much defense. So you have to get new weapons to kill him. But the only way to get upgraded weapons, because you've bought everything from the town, is you have to get the weapon shops in the towns you're rebuilding to a higher level, and then the merchants will have better weapons. So, and the tag mode is really cool. So from the number of people you tag, every person uniquely that you tag, I can't even formulate a fucking sentence. Every person that you tag that's unique adds a citizen to the town you're rebuilding, and you can assign citizens to cut the time down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
So if a job's going to take 7 hours with one person, it'll take 3.5 hours with two people. It'll take 1.75 hours.
So what aspect of this are you paying for?
You're not paying for it. So I guess freemium is a bad idea. Okay. You're not paying for anything.
Yeah, that's not the right word for
it's
it.
It's that tap and wait bullshit, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So it's actually – I actually kind of liked it because I'd go to work and be like, oh, yeah, I got to do these jobs. So I'd line up the job in the town, you know, put my thing in standby mode, go to work, get off work, and the job would be done.
Well, see, I like those types of games because I like being able to pick it up and play anywhere between 5 to 15 minutes, depending on what you want to do while you're in there. And I know Bravely Default would be different.
It's way shorter than that, but yeah.
But yeah, so you get in there, you tap around a little bit, you play, and then you can set it down, you know, and you know while you're at work or sleeping or whatever. Yeah. It's doing its thing, and then later, because I'm very much like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and grind on a game. You know, especially like on an iPhone and stuff, but that's
so awesome. So here's where the downfall of that system comes in, though, that kind of killed it for me. It didn't kill it for me, but kind of bummed me out. So as an example, I had a weekend off. I was playing the demo because I really just wanted to get into it. I got to that point where I had to get the town leveled up. It was a 3-hour quest. I'm like, well, it's got to kill 3 hours. So I started the quest. I saved the game. I booted up Pokemon and went and did some Pokemon stuff. It only tabulates time when the game is running. So 3 hours later, I log back in, and I still have 2 hours and 45 minutes to go.
They do that so you can't just set the clock ahead, right? Like, that's...
That, and I think they just want you to leave the game running in standby mode to get tags and do all the shit. So I'm like...
that sucks.
So literally, when I got to that wall...
You were so excited.
Yeah, so I set my quests. I put my DS in standby mode, set it on the charger, and went and fucked off and did other things. And, which, okay, I get it. They want you playing your games. Oh, I totally did that. What was that?
Those ones.
You slapped something.
Right in front of it.
Right in front of it. Sorry, I'm dying here. So instead of instead of staying on my DS and playing another game, because in Bravely Default at this point, I couldn't get the quest any further, my options were A, grind levels, B, grind levels, C, grind levels, or D, fucking wait. Like, that's all I could do. So I put my DS on standby and went and played my PlayStation, which to me defeats the purpose
of the idea.
So it was kind of obnoxious there. But everything else about the game is awesome. The class system is super cool. It was also really fun because once you've maxed out, at least in the demo, once you've maxed out the class somebody's job, you can use parts of that job abilities even though there's something else. So if you max out somebody as a level 4 white mage, you can then use some of the white mage abilities if you have them as a red mage job instead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can kind of jumble stuff around.
No, I get what you're saying.
RPG people will get it. But in my opinion right now, my favorite class, ninja class, to do a shit ton of damage and dodge stuff. But I like the demo, the end. I'm really excited for the full game.
When does the full game come out?
I believe February 4th. People of Utah, buy the game, put it on your 3DS, and go walk around about 5th West and 2nd South with it in tag mode, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9. And
if you see a guy with a blonde beard, don't walk close enough to tag him.
No, tag me. Because I 2 weeks with the game in my system, and I got like 3 tags. Come the fuck on, people.
Lame.
Come on. So, really cool, though. The way they use tags is neat.
All right, so before we go into break, do you want to talk about Echelon or next-gen sales numbers?
I can do both real quick. It won't take very long.
All right.
So Echelon is a PC RPG. It's based on old school, like the really old school RPGs, kind of the D&D idea. So if you played Neverwinter, Neverwinter Nights, anything based in the Dungeons & Dragons universe. Why is there a pube in my microphone?
It's like, I'm pointing at you doing this. I'm like, dude, you see this?
So, Echelon. I give up. I surrender.
You were suckling on a pube.
off the track.
We're done. Like, I felt so
So upper epsilon tag.
So stuff. Basically, as far as I've got so far, you roll your character, you roll stats, you assign them, and the story is you're clinging to this fire object, and an alien comes out, and he wants you to give him the thing. You say no, and you end up in a dormant volcano.
Don't the aliens usually give you their thing?
Yeah, that's. He didn't probe me. There was no probing. Zero probing. But it's pretty fun. I mean, you have to be hardcore into RPGs. I don't think this is something that your average Call of Duty player is going to jump on.
Yeah, I was going to say, this game sounds boring as shit
to me.
I'm not an RPG guy at all. It's,
I mean, we're talking classic, old school, pen and paper RPG ideas, put into a PC game. You have a weight limit. You know, you can only take so much. I don't want to say that. You can only carry so much stuff. I'm not saying the phrase "take a loader." You can't set these two up.
It's after midnight. The werewolves come out.
But it's like I said. If you like, you know, Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter, it's a really fun RPG.
So then the next gen consoles. It sounds like both the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 both sold about 4 million units apiece, right?
So the the Xbox sold 3.2.
Okay.
The PlayStation sold 4 and a little bit more. So the PlayStation outsold the Xbox One by about 1 million units thus far. However, the Xbox One was the fastest selling console in the month of December, but it was also one of the only consoles in stock in the month of December. Right. So you can take it how you will, but I don't know. I'm so fed up with the marketing at this point. It breaks my brain to see the report of Xbox One, best-selling console in December.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation 4 outsold it. Regardless to say, we had two next-gen expensive-ass consoles launch within a week of each other. And, combined, they've sold over 7 million units worldwide.
Yeah.
In a 2.5 month period. So, obviously, there was...
crazy.
It's so crazy to see. I mean, the Wii was breaking records when it was selling, 1.5 million in the first couple months. And this is seven times that. So, really, really cool to see that happening, which... all of us that bought launch consoles know that 2014 is going to be a dry year. I mean, my PlayStation 3 is getting way more action than my PS4. Yeah, the tailpipe right in there.
2015 is going to be a wet year.
So
It'll be moist.
It'll be moist. Gaming moist. 2016 will be the wet year. Fucking raining bitches. But That's my console sales report. I'm really tired of marketing, and I'm going to go on a quick rant, and then we can go on the debate about online fighting games. If you are going to launch a motherfucking online service...
we're talking to you, Johnny No Dick.
Yeah.
Well, make me break down that door with the Minotaur.
So, Nintendo, Wii U, Christmas Day, Nintendo Network goes down, December 27th, Pokemon Bank is supposed to launch. It can't because there were too many people activating Wii's on Christmas Day and it hurt our servers.
Makes sense.
They knew how many fucking consoles they shipped. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
They tracked that, I'm assuming, or there's some just jackass writing random numbers down on paper. Something's happening there.
70.
Hey, 70.
Man. Hey, man, the Asians can't do math, dude.
Yeah, apparently not. Time travel and math aren't their thing.
I apologize to Asians.
So, Nintendo Network goes down for 3 days. PlayStation Network struggles when the PS4 launches. Xbox One did okay. I hate to say this because I absolutely love the Beats Music service, but the Beats Music service goes demo 4 days ago, supposed to launch today, gets pushed back a week because they didn't expect the demand on their service. Where the fuck are we getting our information as business people then? Look at how many users Spotify has. Figure that 50% of them are going to try your service for free and go with that number. Nintendo knew how many Wii U's they sold, assuming
they're going to listen to this and be like, bing.
Holy shit, this guy knows. I mean, it's just,
I don't know.
Get this guy in our marketing department.
I'm not trying shit by Dre.
it's actually really good. And if you're on AT&T, it's way cheaper than Spotify. But,
how much is it?
You can do a family subscription for $15 a month instead of
fuck
10.
Families.
For,
it's just
I would just like
just
to get
me.
A new phone.
Well, we'll talk about
Spotify's
that later.
Spotify's 10.
Yeah, yeah.
For one line. This is $15, gives you 5 accounts on 10 devices.
But Tiffany just logs into my Spotify account.
Yeah,
from her phone.
But you both can't listen at the same time.
We do. We have.
Shouldn't let you. It drops me every time I tried it.
I'm in.
So the Beats thing is, I think it's way better. But the fact that their servers couldn't handle the load of people that they probably should have expected is ridiculous. Yeah, the load. They couldn't take the whole load, Ben.
All right, so on that note,
Ben can take a load.
If you're going to launch a service, maybe Google something and try that number.
And if you need someone to take a load, call Ben.
Yeah. And shit on the internet isn't always correct. Just so you know, you may not want to just Google everything. Okay?
Well, it'd be
they do some research. Maybe check a dictionary.
Check Wikipedia or something.
Check your encyclopedias.
It's pronounced Padia.
Oh,
sorry.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about playing fighting games online and Jimmy's foray into that whole world. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
What up, Internet? This is Tom from the Entertainment Is Dead podcast. And if you haven't had enough of me already, come on over to entertainmentisdead.com where you'll get some quality stuff like this.
Like, he took his game studio and he went home.
He's part of the Sriracha relocation program.
You're not a hater.
You
I really
like
just
this.
Don't want that to be the one that breaks my computer's cherry.
So you can come grab this dose of ridiculousness every Wednesday until the end of time. You can find us once again at www.entertainmentisdead.com where you can stream the audio right off the site, on iTunes, also on Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can reach us on Twitter at EID Podcast. We're basically everywhere. We'll catch you guys there.
Welcome back to this week's Big Shiny Podcast. What were you going to say, Kylie?
It's a bad word.
Well, we don't say bad words
on
this podcast.
We don't
podcast.
Make swears on the internet, Kylie. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about... So recently, Jimmy got an Xbox by nefarious means.
Very.
And he has forayed into the world of playing fighting games such as Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yep.
Online,
yep.
And he wanted to talk about it.
I really wanted to talk about that. So I've been playing a lot of fighting games online. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Injustice, Street Fighter, just any old run-of-the-mill.
So I'm into fighting games. Jimmy fucking loves them. I play Street Fighter religiously. Jimmy plays everything religiously. And it so not to say that he's into fight. There was one night I get a call. Tom, yes, I'm playing on this stream. Watch my hot girl. Oh, okay, so I log in and watch Jimmy play hot girl. Like
I lost, I think that one.
You did, but that guy was bullshit. Yeah. So it's not just like he's loving one fighting game or trying to practice one. Like I feel like you're trying to single-handedly take on the entire fighting game community and every title
is.
They have.
He is, because only a mere couple months ago, like, oh, let's play some Injustice. And Jimmy and I were a pretty even match and stuff, and so that was fun. And then it's like, all right, I'm sick of playing this game. So in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you throw that in, it was a pretty even match. In fact, I kicked Jimmy's ass for a while at that game and everything.
Yeah.
Now he gets his own Xbox, comes over, plays some Injustice. Okay, three rounds of that was enough. I didn't even touch him. Let's play Marvel vs. Capcom. Okay, I'm going to bed.
and this is what I'm like mad at, because I play these games, I guess, that have been out for a while. Injustice is dead, and that's only been out for a fucking year. But I play these games, and the people online are either kids that just barely got the game or just barely started playing it, so they have like no wins and no losses, or I'm playing against people who have played the game since the launch. So you're either like dominating somebody or you're getting your ass kicked, even like not... bragging it. Even me, I'm getting my fucking ass to work. Like, I can't even touch these guys. These guys are fucking crazy. Guys, girls, whoever. So, I guess I'm frustrated because there's no medium. There's
right.
No, like, there's not like a regular guy like me who practices, who knows a few little
Is there
things.
Any sort of matching system in fighting games? Because I know...
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I know in like Halo and Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff, when I play those, there's an algorithm that goes out there and tries to, as
right.
best it can, match you up at least mostly well, people at your same skill level.
The problem with me is my rank is so small because I haven't had the game forever. But when I play at my skill level, if they give me those beginner matches, I'm going to work them.
Right.
So then I end up fishing out for more advanced players, and then I get fucked more. Like, I can't...
So...
I'm trying to... throw my line out there to get like a regular
right. No, I hear you, because I remember like we would get online and play some Halo, and it would be, you know, me, Lucas, and Mikey, who played all the time and were really high ranked, we have good stats, and then a friend would jump on that doesn't play it as often, and they'd be only half our rank or less, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then we'd start the night off with some really fucking easy matches where it's like we're working these guys to the point where they're shit talking us because they're so mad, we're beating the shit out of them. Mm-hmm. But then as the night goes on, you know, everything adjusts itself in the matchmaking. And then next thing you know, things get more evenly matched. But it was very rare where we got into matches where, I mean, it happened.
We're just going back and forth. I just want to go back
happened,
and forth.
Yeah, it happened, but it wasn't very common for us to get into a match where we just got worked.
See, and I think from my side of it, and I'm definitely not a professional by any means, but I almost feel like it needs to be playing... You need to play the player, not the game. If that makes sense.
Play on player.
Jesus. So what I mean by that is everyone that plays a game, and the fighting games are weird because it's not like it's similar to poker, right? Everybody has their way of the way that they play.
Oh, absolutely.
Some guys are always gonna
button mashing.
But yeah, some guys are gonna mash at you. Some guys are going to throw one move over and over again. Some guys are going to jump at you constantly, and some guys are not going to let you jump at them. Everyone has their own little tendencies, and I feel like the matches that I've lost the worst at are the ones where somebody downloads me, where they know exactly – they just know what I'm going to do, so they're able to counter, predict, and block everything I do.
Because there's little traps in fighting games.
Right.
To put people in, and then once they're in those frame traps or whatever – You're not fucking getting out. And if you do get out, you have one fucking frame to get out, which is a split fucking second. And if you're not pushing that right direction in the split fucking second, you're not going to roll out. You're going to continue to be juggled. And the people that know that are these people that are higher ranked than me, once I figure it out or once I study it.
So it's something you need to study. And that's something like, that's why I think I find Street Fighter so intriguing, is I've played the game for about a year and a half. I'm still fucking terrible at it. I'm better than a lot of people, you know, the people that just bought the game or that play casually, but I'm awful at it. And the thing is I go back, because it records your matches online a lot, and you can look at your archives. Mm-hmm. I go back and watch a match from a year ago, and then I watch me play now, and I can see night and day improvement.
Yeah,
I really can. It's like a whole new person playing.
Now you're getting your money's worth. The game will never die, because you're always improving on that. But
right.
Like, I think with that game, because it's such a building game, and you have to build to get to a certain level. With games like Marvel or Injustice, there's characters that are so powered or so, like, bully that, like, there's only, like, three or four top guys, and once you figure those guys out, they can handle the whole fucking cast.
Well, and I think that's one reason...
Tiers of how the guys fall in. Like, well,
and I think that's one reason why Injustice is kind of losing
a
following. Bad. I mean,
I texted you and Tyson one night, because I was watching it on Twitch. Injustice had 7 to 11 people watching it. Shaq Fu had 50 to 60.
What?
Yeah,
Shaq Fu.
Shaq fucking Fu.
That's like 94,
96. Sega Genesis shit.
Yeah.
And Marvel constantly has about like 70 people.
Minimum. Easy.
Minimum. Well, I'll tell you why.
Their own streams from like the tournaments and stuff. So there's high
volume. Here's the problem with Injustice. Injustice was a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it really was.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3... It came out, and there was continued support over a couple of years for that game.
Absolutely.
Whether it was throwing out some new costumes or a couple new characters. I mean, there was only two, but or just patching the game to make it better. There was continued support. It almost feels like Injustice came out. It's been a year, and they're just like, all right, well, let's fucking move on. They're probably working on Injustice 2 somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel I was so excited for this game. And I feel like I've been very loyal to this game for the last year since it came out. We've played that. That's the single most game that's been played for me for the last year. Like, when you guys come over and we throw in Injustice and have some beers and play that game. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was always fun every couple of months, a new character coming out. You had Batgirl. You had Zod. You had Scorpion and stuff like that. And the Zatanna, which was the last one to come out. Or was it Martian Manhunter? Zatanna was the last character to hit that game, and she's fucking dog shit. Like, and I know I've seen characters use her effectively, sure. and it's pretty cool to watch. But as far as it being like a casual player friendly character,
she's not. You have to
sit there and practice her,
because they're more technical. You have to input more buttons to do something that a Batgirl or a Martian Manhunter could do with
down
punch.
Yeah, exactly. So they were they weren't super accessible characters, and now there's no more plans for any more characters. There hasn't been a patch in a while.
Yeah.
It's just, there was never, I don't know, it just seems like it came out, it was a lot of fun, and it's a year later, there's lack of support, and losing interest. Because part of what keeps me playing fighting games is, you know, I want to see, like, you know, throw some bone, like throw out some new more costumes and stuff like that. Because Injustice, they were coming out like every couple weeks, new costume pack, new characters, and it was fun and it was exciting. And I know you can't necessarily maintain that, but the period of time that existed for Injustice seemed incredibly short.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Again, if they added that, or if they kept support on like tweaking the game as they do with Street Fighter constantly, they could make it a more a more complex game, because again, once you figure out a guy and you think that you can master like the whole roster, I mean, if they just add a little tweak in there, like make him just a tad bit slower or adjust his punch just a little bit, then that would change the whole way that people can get away with some of their cheap shit, like laser beams.
Well, and it's making me just want to go back and play some more, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I think also that's just more like you play something over and over and over again, you know, you're going to want to change a pace. And Injustice and Marvel vs. Capcom are two, it's night and day.
Oh, yeah,
it's two totally different games. Injustice is very deliberate and slower paced, mm-hmm. and Marvel vs. Capcom is much more frantic and fast moving. And right now it's, you know, I've actually had a lot of fun playing Marvel vs. Capcom again, because mm-hmm. that franticness can be a lot of fun. Even when you're getting your ass kicked, there's always something going on. It's not just, you know, frustrating. So
I got a couple characters that you're going to want to play now.
But I think the cool thing about any of these is, for me, and I've ranted about this before, is that gradual learning curve is pretty cool to have. And I think, I don't know, I mean, if we're going to talk about online Marvel, I don't even fathom that shit. I mean, I had a guy with Phoenix Wright just one hit fucking just wreck me. But
yeah, he's like the lowest tier guy next to the Heinzico chip.
Oh, Shinko?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, the big thing about, I mean, online too, is you've got a lot of other stuff you're dealing with. I mean, you've got the net code. So some games just have really awful net code. I know the re-release of King of Fighters 13 had really clean net code, and everyone was really excited about that.
What does that mean?
Netcode is the way, just basically the way the online multiplayer works. And if it has shitty netcode, it's laggy. As an example, Killer Instinct got patched and it bricked the online for like a while. Mm-hmm. Like people were just lagging for no reason because their patch somehow affected the way it connected online. Hmm. So that's something you run into. And that's another one, like fighting games online. I could watch Killer Instinct online all day long because it's so, I mean, it's not really new, but it's so new to like this new generation of consoles. People aren't quite figuring it out yet, and it has a different appeal as a fighting game. And so just watching people just get these 138 hit combos dropped on them is awesome.
So here's another thing too, Tyson. Like when me and you or me and Tom play online, like fighting games and stuff, I can't pull off the same shit that I could pull off if I'm just sitting next to you.
How do you mean? Because I feel like when you and I play with each other, well, but if you're comparing it, yeah, when we play with each other,
right?
So, yeah. but at the same time, I think part of that, because like playing at my house versus playing at your house, it could be that. It could also be the monitor setup, because I'm playing on we're playing on a lagless at my place versus like my TV in my living room has a 5 millisecond input delay, which you don't think you notice until you play on one that has 1 millisecond input delay and you really feel it.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, when I feel like when I play online, I have to be conservative. Like I can't go all fucking crazy. But when I play, when I'm at someone's house and I can see like the speed of both of us playing, I feel like I can just try anything.
Yeah,
like,
well,
get away with shit that I wouldn't normally do or wouldn't normally be able to get away with online.
It's
too risky online.
I think I disagree. I feel that for me, it's the opposite. Okay. I feel like I get away with a lot more really stupid shenanigans online, the stuff that I shouldn't get away with, because there's different things. There's a really prevalent Marvel player. His name is Viscant, and he's funny as shit on Twitter, and he loves and hates the Lakers, and I don't understand sports, but his tweets about the Lakers.
Sure, it's funny.
Yeah, dude, no, his tweets about the Lakers are amazing. Like, he'll tweet about how they're trying so hard to lose, it hurts, and it's amazing. But he
sounds a little lackluster.
I'm sure
if it was verbatim, it'd be a lot.
It would be. But he compares the technology, like he basically says that Jill online is the best character in the game, because a lot of the way the netcode plays, a lot of her moves are unblockable or just so fucking fast because of that. But if you put her in a tournament side by side, she gets wrecked because.
Right. Well, you know firsthand how that goes.
Yeah.
See, and this is the part where it's like, I just get fucking lost. You know, I've started practicing up a little bit more because I do want to play like online and stuff with you guys. Yeah. But I'll be honest, if I go downstairs into my entertainment room and
sounds sexual.
I know, it does. And I fire up my Xbox to get online and play. Even you, who's my friend, right?
Yeah.
And I get worked 3 matches in a row. I'm like, fuck this. Like, I just want to turn the console off, right? But it's like, I don't want, you know. you know, it, like, again, like, it, you know, when me and Lucas and Mikey would play Halo and stuff, it's a way for us to socialize, you know, especially on a weekday when maybe it's not convenient for us to leave our houses because we had a long day at work, right? So it's fun to fire it up and we can still play video games with each other without having to go to each other's houses, and we can drink without, you know, having to worry about how we're getting home or anything. But at the same time, it's, oh man, it's the other night when I played with you, like last week or something. It's like I got on there and I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm just going to get fucking drunk and keep letting him kick my ass. And I was trying. I mean, I'm just like, fuck this fucking game. Like, I wanted to snap my disc in half. I was like, I used to be better at this game. And there's like, there's things with, you know, Iron Man used to be my strongest character. There's combos and moves that I used to do with him that I can't even fucking remember how to do. Like, I would go from, you know, his unibeam to like a couple hit combo. And then fire that rocket at the ground. You know, it was a good combo. And it's like, I don't remember how I used to fucking do that. And it was deliberate. I mean, I'm not a button masher when it comes to these games. I try to learn moves and stuff. So now it's like kind of getting back down there. And unlike you guys, though, I don't have the patience to sit down there and quote unquote practice, you know, fire up the training mode and try out different things. You know, it's just for one, I just don't find it. It's not stimulating for me. You know, I'm just like, eh. I mean, I enjoy playing my friends and stuff. And hopefully as I play you guys, like, I think it'll be fun for the three of us to get like a, you know, get a into lobby. A lobby and, yeah, and play each other and stuff and be able to watch each other's matches. And, you know, hopefully in doing more, you know, you get better playing better people and you figure things out. You look up a move online and you figure that move out and then you move on to the next one and learn how to string them together. That's how I'm going to learn, because I'm not, you know, I don't have the patience you guys have, nor the desire, frankly. Well,
and I think on the point of you saying Injustice is dying, that is one thing that I consider, I think,
dead.
Well, and yeah. I think one of the reasons why is, and I really hope, they work out their licensing rights, but Skullgirls. They've had just problem after problem after problem. You know, their licensing with Konami went south for some reason. All their stuff got pulled off the digital stores. And I think they're working that out and getting back up on through a different publisher or self-publishing. A couple weeks after that, the company that was hosting their online store for merchandise went out of business and they didn't tell them. So suddenly you just couldn't buy shit from them anymore. So they've just had a wave of bad luck. But the thing that Skullgirls did that was amazing is their training mode started out with not just a Skullgirls training mode, but a fighting game training mode.
Right, and that game was created for a person to get into a fighting game
and figure it out.
But from beginners to advanced, so any beginner or button masher or whatever, they can figure out like simple controls, simple moves, simple timing to juggle people or to beat people up. Mm-hmm. But then there's also mechanics in the game built in the game for advanced guys. Like, okay, well, I need something for me. So, like, okay, well, you can add this to your
right. And the training mode took you through.
So that game was supposed to be fucking.
And the training mode took you through. It took you through hit confirming. So this is what hit confirming is. This is how it works. This is why you do it. These are how cancels work. This is what a cross up is. And it went through these very basic ideas. And if Injustice had something similar to that, because Injustice has the draw. Right, it's got DC superheroes beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
If they would have been able to implement something like that, I really feel like the game could have kept going.
Well, I think any fighting game could benefit from that, because even someone like me who's been playing Street Fighter since the days of Street Fighter 2 and shit like that, you know, out there on the Sega, you know, I only recently, within the last couple of years, when you guys start talking about frame data and all that kind of shit, had I even heard of that, you know? Right. Yeah. And well, so like for a game to have a training mode that would actually kind of like walk you through like just, you know, basics of like the game mechanics for a specific game, because the training mode of Marvel vs. Capcom, they shouldn't call it training. They should call it guy in other room with you, because it's you and a computer controlled character, and you can set that computer controlled character. I want him to walk at me. I want him to jump at me. I want him to defend.
What a Tyson wants to do is do the mission mode. So if you go on mission, it'll run you through a series of combos saying, use a unibeam. Now put unibeam and hard punch together.
Yeah.
Now, unibeam, hard punch, launcher, medium, hard.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but, and I've done that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I've done that. The problem is with that is it's the information's too basic. So like, here's a couple cool things you can string together and some basic concepts, you get into a match. I mean, that shit goes out the window, you know.
Some of it,
which,
for sure.
I'm not saying it's completely useless. But
that shit goes out the window in a match, because there's a very different level of execution from executing in a training room and executing in a real
match. Right.
And ask Jimmy, I can do.
You're not just going to be walking at me.
Yeah.
Like, constantly.
I can do a 60 hit combo. I do walk in him and die. I can do as like a 60 hit combo in training mode on Marvel consistently.
It's amazing. He's like a little like
I can do that. Boom, you put me in a match against Jimmy, I'm lucky if I get 13 hits because your adrenaline's pumping, you drop it. So anyway, stop.
Well, I said that tonight when we were playing, we were having technical difficulties, and we were just it's like I go in, I've got my characters, I know their moves, and like the match is starting up, and Jimmy has this thing like whenever he's got an arcade stick in front of him, he flicks it. That fucking stick like he's playing with a dick. Tom does it too, and it's like, you know, I kind of do the same thing, but it's internal, right? I'm thinking like, okay, he's going to probably come at me with this. You know, start thinking shit through. Match starts, fucking mind goes blank, and I'm just like fucking fucking Unibeam. Unibeam, the beam that he holds above his head that does the pulse beam. Yeah, I'm just like fucking just goes out the window. And I mean, not to say that like I had a strategy that I intended to execute, but I had some basic concepts, and it all just goes out the fucking window, you know. And it's, you know, even, and I'm having a hard time retaining because I haven't played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 forever. You know, I used to be able to execute the Hawkman or Hawkeye's Ant-Man special, no problem. That was like one of my, that's why I like being that character, because I thought it was such a fun special and I could execute it. You know, I was trying to do it tonight, and even Ben brought it up. I was like, hey, doesn't he have that spot? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking trying to do it. It's just like my fingers just weren't working right, and I do the double trigger.
It's all muscle memory.
Yeah, well, and I do the double trigger for the special, which I know you do it differently, right? And so, and I've noticed before, and I was getting better at not doing it that way, but now, since I've kind of had to reset everything, I'm back to doing that again, and it just doesn't work whenever you're trying to do anything but your basic special. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's... I have zero fucking desire to play online. I think when I bought Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the very first time, I think I played 3 matches online, and all 3 rounds I just got my ass handed to me. Like, it was people who clearly knew what they were doing better than I did. And it was funny because I beat the game, like the story mode, right? I beat Galactus.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's fucking get online and start wrecking some shit.
Yeah. And then you realize, like, holy Jesus Christ.
Yeah. This is not Galactus. Yeah, exactly.
Where's Galactus when you need him?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I have zero desire to play online. For me, fighting games have always been a social thing. Like, even just playing you guys, who are my friends in real life, RIL. But playing you guys online in a fighting game still feels so weird to me. Because fighting games...
make sure, like, it's actually you guys. I have this weird, like... fantasy of like you guys like leaving the room,
and Justin Wong takes my seat instead.
Like some just fucking guy that just like comes in and just starts like going. So I have like I kind of like wait for a second. Like I know I think that is Tom, and then I'm like okay, then I'll. But
we
I
need to
think about it.
But see,
like,
I just it feels
we need to get you an Xbox Live headset so we can talk while we play.
Yeah, see, and that's the other thing too is you don't have a headset, so it's just fucking silence like in between matches, you know. Which is zero fun. But even then, it still just seems so foreign because for me, fighting games have always been your friends get together in the basement, you play, you fire up the whatever fire console. And then you get a shit talk each other. Yeah. You know, there's controller dropping, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot more fun. But anyway, so I'm glad you're enjoying it, though. I'm glad you finally got in there. But anyway, so I think we're going to wrap up for... That's it for this recording session. So we'll catch you guys again with some new episodes come February. As always, thanks for listening. Go check us out on iTunes and give us a rate and a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girl Cast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents,